Turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. Peoples will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among many peoples and provide arbitration for strong nations that are far away. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. But each person will sit under his grapevine and under his fig tree, with no one to frighten him. For the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. Though all the peoples each walk in the name of their gods, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. On that day," this is the Lord's declaration, "I will assemble the lame and gather the scattered, those I have injured. I will make the lame into a remnant, those far removed into a strong nation. Then the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time on and forever. And you, watchtower for the flock, fortified hill of daughter Zion, the former rule will come to you. Sovereignty will come to daughter Jerusalem. Now, why are you shouting loudly? Is there no king with you? Has your counselor perished so that anguish grips you like a woman in labor? Writhe and cry out, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you will leave the city and camp in the open fields. You will go to Babylon. There you'll be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the grasp of your enemies. Many nations have now assembled against you. They say, 'Let her be defiled. Let us feast our eyes on Zion.' But they do not know the Lord's intentions or understand his plans, that he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, daughter Zion, for I will make your horns iron and your hooves bronze, so you can crush many peoples. Then you will set apart their plunder for the Lord, their wealth for the Lord of the whole earth." You may be seated. In chapter 3, we looked at God's comments about the leaders of Israel who should have known what was right and what was just, what was right according to God's standards, not according to men's. And God's prophet is giving God's message to the leaders of Israel and Judah and telling them, "You haven't done what you knew you should have done. And you preachers, you haven't been preaching the truth. You've been saying what people want to hear, as long as they're feeding you. If they stop feeding you, then you'll speak out against them. And there's going to be destruction coming. You're going to be carried off to a foreign land." But then God promises a time when things are going to be restored. In the last days, we look at the book of Revelation and see a great detail of that. We look at Matthew 24. We look at 2 Timothy 4, and it talks about how things are in the last days. It's like reading, you say a newspaper, but people don't read the newspaper that much. A blog about what's happening right now. If you read Revelation and Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 4, we see all the things happening around us that God foretold would happen before he returns. And in Revelation, it tells us that after the final battle of Armageddon, Christ will reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. And that's what Micah's talking about here in chapter 4. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. Look at Zechariah, just go toward Matthew and you'll hit Zechariah if you don't flip over it. Chapter 14. Last chapter in Zechariah. Beginning in verse 1. Look, a day belonging to the Lord is coming, when the plunder taken from you will be divided in your presence. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem for battle. That's the battle of Armageddon. The city will be captured, the houses looted, and the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be removed from the city. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west, forming a huge valley, so that half the mountain will move to the north and half to the south. You will flee by this mountain valley, for the valley of mountains will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. On that day there will be no light. The sunlight and moonlight will diminish. It will be a unique day known only to the Lord, without day or night, but there will be light at evening. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea, in summer and winter alike. On that day, the Lord will become king over the whole earth, the Lord alone and his name alone. All the land from Geba to Rimon, south of Jerusalem, will be changed into a plain, but Jerusalem will be raised up and remain on its site from the Benjamin gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the Tower of Hanel to the royal winepress. People will live there, and never again will there be a curse of complete destruction. So Jerusalem will dwell in security. Zechariah talks about this. And Isaiah also repeats the words of Micah. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us all, he will teach us about his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among the nations and provide arbitration for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up sword against nation, and they will never again train for war." So in chapter 4, we're seeing the millennial kingdom of Christ. He is coming back to reign on earth, to settle everything. Everything is looking bad at the time Micah is writing this. Israel is about to be carried off by the Assyrians. And a little while later, Judah will be carried off to Babylon, but they're going to come back. Assyria didn't bring back, or those that Assyria took out didn't come back. Those that went to Babylon came back until 1948. Those Assyrians moved throughout the world. They came back to Israel, many. And God is promising, even when he's telling about promised judgment, he's telling about promised hope coming later. Now, one thing you didn't hear, well, I didn't listen to it, but probably did not hear, and haven't heard anybody say, from the State of the Union address last night, and we're going to get back to God as a nation. Now, I think if that was spoken last night, I would have heard about it. But God's going to set everything straight. It's not what people do with their plans that make everything right. It's what God does. And no matter what people do, God's going to set everything right. Even when Jerusalem looks at its worst, Jesus is coming back. Soon as feet touch the Mount of Olives, it splits apart. That ought to get everybody's attention right there. But it doesn't, because they're still going to try to fight Jesus as he comes back. And Jerusalem gets even higher up. And during that 1,000 years, people will say, let us go up to Jerusalem. And notice what it says in verse 2 of Micah 4. He will teach us about his ways. Not, we can learn about the Lord's ways there. No. The Lord is going to teach us about the Lord's ways. We're going to hear it straight from Jesus. Jesus is going to rule on earth. And everything's going to be settled. No fear anymore. Everybody's going to sit under their vines and their fig trees. That means, yeah, you're going to be safe at home with everything you need. And they'll take their weapons of war and make farming tools with them. Their spears and swords will turn into plows. God is coming back, and he's going to set everything right. No matter what happens, we need to remember that. No matter how bad things look, Jesus is coming back to make all things right. And the key, you'll see in verse 12. The people that don't understand, but they do not know the Lord's intentions or understand his plans. A lot of people go, why is this happening? It's all part of God's plan. Why did the nation of Israel get taken into captivity? It's all part of God's plan, showing his judgment and justice. Why did they come back into the promised land? Because God said it's going to happen. Can you think of any nation that ceased to exist for over 2,000 years that came back into existence? Right back where they used to be. Doesn't happen unless God has a plan. God has a plan. What are his intentions? His intentions are to save everyone, offer a way for salvation. His intentions are to give us hope. We just look at what happened with Israel. Hope for us. When things look bad, as a tribulation comes, we know it's only for a short time. Jesus is coming back. During the 7 years of the tribulation and the 3.5 years of the great tribulation, it looks bleak. But Jesus is coming back. Touched down on Mount of Olives. And when he touches down, I keep thinking of one of Elon Musk's rockets that land. It doesn't split the landing pad apart. But as soon as Jesus' feet touch Mount of Olives, it splits apart. And this mountain, half of the mountain runs that way. This half of the mountain runs that way. And there's a new river going two different ways from Jerusalem. And this is talked about also by the prophet Ezekiel. And he talks about that millennial temple. and the river that runs from the center of the temple of God. There's going to be fresh water in the Dead Sea, and it will be green again. There's hope because God promised. We need to remember to trust God for what He says is going to happen. And remember to share our hope with others. Things are looking bad. Yes. But Jesus is still in charge. Things are looking bad. But Jesus is just patient with His return. Things are looking bad. But they're getting better. Like the sermon a person preached one time. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Friday, the tomb had Jesus' body. Sunday, it was clear He wasn't there anymore. He was alive. It might look like Friday in our world today, but Sunday's coming. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Let's remember to be praying for those that are on our prayer list and those that are on our heart. Lord, I thank You for this time we could be here. I thank You for giving us hope in hopeless times. I thank You for redirecting our focus to You. Because even though it looks dark and gloomy in our world today, You are bringing Your light, Your rule, Your justice, and are going to set everything right. We look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen.